الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Today is the 30th of Dhul Qa'dah, which corresponds to the 4th of October, and it's a Friday morning here at the Jeddah Da'wah Center in Hayy Salama. We are continuing our discussion, inshallah, on Surah Al-Ma'idah, specifically ayah number 92, which reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول واحذروا فإن توليتم فاعلموا أنما على رسولنا البلاغ المبين. In English, this could mean, and obey Allah and obey His Messenger and beware. And if you turn away, then know that upon our Messenger is only the clear notification. The only responsibility is to convey. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir Saadi rahimahullah says in commenting on this particular ayah, he says, طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ وَاحِدَةٌ. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. That's a very, very fundamental statement which we have to understand. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. أخوان, we have to understand what is being said. I'm saying this because we have amongst the so-called Muslims multitudes of people who claim otherwise. Who either have a categorization wherein the Qur'an is superior to the Sunnah, or the other available option for them is that the Qur'an only and there's no Sunnah. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Some of them say the Qur'an and then the Sunnah in order of importance, and then say Qur'an and no Sunnah. And the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that the Qur'an and the Sunnah are one and the same in terms of authority. They are equal. Is that clear? Obeying Allah is like obeying the Messenger, and obeying the Messenger is like obeying Allah. They go hand in hand. However, we qualify that statement by saying the Quran does not require authentication or verification, whereas the Sunnah does. That's it. The only variation between them is that there's a longer process to attribute words to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas the words attributed to Allah in the Quran are done. You don't need to verify who narrated this ayah from who, from the Messenger of Allah. But once we conclude, that this sunnah or this statement or this action or this approval, acknowledgement attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sahih, it's authentic and sound, it is as authoritative as the Quran. It is equal to an ayah. If it's a command, it's a command. And if it's a prohibition, it's a prohibition. There is no such thing as degrees in authority. Let alone the Qur'anites or the Qur'aniyun who go to the extent of saying, no, the Sunnah has no role in Islam. Allah made the Qur'an the only thing which is a reliable source. And the Sunnah, because we have to verify, we really don't want to verify because we may make a mistake in the verification. I'm giving you how they rationalize it. So we play it safe. We play it safe and stick to the Quran. How can you play it safe when Allah made it part of His deen? You ignore part of the deen of Allah to make it safe, or do you do what Allah commanded? It's just like someone said, it's better for me not to go for Hajj. Why? Yeah, Sheikh, too much to do, you know. Tawaf, sa'i, this. I play it safe. I don't do Hajj. But Allah commanded you to do Hajj. So you have to bear the hardship. You have to bear the hardship of going for Hajj. You can't say because there's some process. Brother. You cannot say because there's a process, then I will ignore the whole thing. Rather, say, okay, we hear and we obey Allah. Let me do my best. If you do your best and you come up mistaken, will Allah hold you accountable for the error? No, He already told you. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا قَالَ قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. So there's a solution. There's a rational response for this claim that I'm not sure, so maybe I will wind up lying against Allah. So you ignore thousands and millions of commands and prohibitions issued by the Messenger of Allah to his ummah. You going to just set them aside because the Quran is more reliable? Makes no sense. And obviously, if you refer to the Quran only, you will have a quarter of the religion. A quarter of the religion. And I'm not exaggerating. Why? What do I mean by that? Aykum salam. Ahlan wa salam. What I mean by that is that the Quran highlights the bullet points. The Quran is the... It gives you the bullet points. Where does the explanation come? And the application and the implementation in the Sunnah. The Quran never details how to pray. There's no surah that is called Surah As-Salah, which begins when you enter Salah, you say Takbirat al-Ihram, and then you do Dua al-Istiftah, then you read Mu'awwidha al-Ta'awwud, then you recite Al-Fatiha, then you recite a surah, then you make ruku' by saying Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Nowhere in the Quran does this exist. So if you were to accept the Quran only, how are you going to pray? Really, how are you going to pray? You can't. Unless each Muslim comes up with his own salah. And would Allah want everyone to pray according to his own way, or did He send a messenger who, in the same Quran that they're claiming they're following, is telling them like this ayah, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he prevents you from, leave it alone. How are you going to apply these ayat? You won't be able to. You will not be able to. So by them saying we follow the Quran only, they're actually going against the Quran. And that's why the scholars declare takfir, kufr, on the one who says, I only believe in the Quran, I don't believe in the Sunnah. He's a kafir. Because he's disbelieving in the very book which he claims he's following. Is that clear? This is why the Shaykh rahimahullah, sometimes it's a few words, it's only a few words, but the meaning is profound. And this is a classic example. إِذَنْ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةُ رَسُولِهِ وَاحِدَةٌ. Obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger is one and the same. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ الرَّسُولِ. Whosoever obeys Allah has automatically obeyed the Messenger. Because did the Messenger call you to obey Allah? Did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam call you to Allah's obedience? Yes. So when you wind up obeying Allah, have you obeyed the Messenger and what he commanded? Absolutely. وَمَنْ أَطَاعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. And whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. Did Allah command you to obey the Messenger?
Yes.
So when you obey the Messenger, who have you obeyed? If your father tells you, listen to your mother. And you listen to your mother. You obeyed your mother. Have you not automatically obeyed your father? Even though who issued the command? The latter one, the mother. But who told you to obey your mother? Your father. So by you simply obeying her and the million tasks which she has, which is the usual case, you have automatically obeyed your father. You understand the concept? وَذَلِكَ شَامِلٌ لِلْقِيَامِ بِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ الظَّاهِرَةِ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ الْوَاجِبَةِ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّةِ الْمُتَعَلِّقَةُ أو المتعلقة بحقوق الله وحقوق خلقه والانتهاء عما نهى الله ورسوله عنه كذلك. This encompasses then fulfilling the commands of Allah and His Messenger in regards to deeds, whether they are outwardly or hidden, in regards to the obligations and the recommendations, and in regards to the rights of Allah and the rights of the creation of Allah. Further, to refrain and avoid what Allah and His Messenger had commanded to be left alone as well. وَهَذَا الْأَمْرُ أَعَمُّ الْأَوَامِرِ. This command of Allah is one of the most comprehensive commands. One of the most encompassing commands. فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا تَرَى يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ وَنَهِينَ. As you can see, every single command and every single prohibition is included in this ayah. صح؟ Are you guys sleeping still? Because صح يعني requires an answer. Like yes or something. Like yesterday's lecture. You give an example of ful and tamiz and khalas. The rest of the lecture became ful and tamiz. Well, but anyways, so you know, engage with the waikum salam rahmatullah with the conversation. Al muhim ya shabab. Again, I will repeat. This command of Allah includes every command of Allah and His Messenger. Right or wrong? When Allah says, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, how many things are included? Everything. It's very comprehensive. Imagine how many things the Messenger of Allah commanded. Because of this ayah, and others of course, because of this ayah, all of these commands of His became an obligation in the area of obligation, or they became recommended in the area of recommendation. ظاهر وباطن. So all of them, the outwardly and the inwardly. وقوله واحذروا أي من معصية الله ومعصية رسوله. And beware, huh? Of what? Of disobeying Allah and disobeying His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن في ذلك الشر والخسران المبين. In that is evil and inevitable loss. فإن توليتم, if you turn away, عما أمرتم به ونهيتم عنه, if you turn away from that which you have been commanded or prohibited from doing, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Know then that upon our messenger is merely the clear notification, the clear conveyance of the message. He just has to convey the message, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَقَدْ أَدَّى ذَلِكَ. And he has fulfilled it. فَإِنْ اهْتَدَيْتُمْ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. If you are guided, then it's for your own good. وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَعَلَيْهَا. And if you are wrong, and if you are evil, then it's upon it. Where have you heard this before? It's always good to test brothers on the Quran. Where have you heard an expression similar to this? إِنْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَعَلَيْهَا. أيوة, جميل والله, جميل جدا. هاي أخوان, wake up with the shake up. إِنْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَعَلَيْهَا. Have you heard this or something along these lines before in your life?
Whoever's scared is scared is from himself.
Ya Sheikh, don't translate, Allah yarda alayk. That we can do, barakallah feek. I'm trying to see whether you can depict from the Quran where this ayah or very close to it occurs. Ayuha. It could be a combination of ayat. Surah Al-Isra. Iftah Surah Al-Isra. Surah Al-Isra is after Kahf or before Kahf? Huh?
Before.
What does Allah say to Bani Israel? In ahsantum? Ahsantum li anfusikum wa in asa'tum? فَلَا أُرْفَ عَلَيْهَا. There's one. Then there's another ayah. And also Surah Al-Isra. All of them are coming along the same words with a slight variation. Did you find it or still? Shoo. What is it that you didn't find? The surah or the ayah? It's in the beginning of the surah, ya Sheikh. Did you find the surah?
Yeah.
Look at the top of the next page. The top of the second page. La, don't read English. Surah Al-Isra. Right there. In ahsantum li anfusikum wa in asa'tum falaha. Did you see the relation between them? Huh?
Yeah.
And another surah, man ihtada, فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها. All of these are ayat in the Quran which are trying to bring about the same message. If you are guided, it's for your own good. And if you do bad, it's also upon your own self. It doesn't harm Allah Azza wa Jal, obviously. Huh? As in the Hadith Qudsi, if all of the people were to come together and be upon the heart of the most evil of men, it would not decrease the dominion of Allah and His kingdom in anything. Huh? And the Hadith says, "You, oh my slaves, you will not be able to harm me. For you cannot reach, you cannot come to the level of harming Allah Azza wa Jal." In this manner, of course. So basically, if someone does wrong, it's his own loss. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُحَاسِبُكُمْ. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who will hold you accountable. وَالرَّسُولُ قَدْ أَدَّمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا حُمِّلَ بِهِ. And the Messenger, however, عليه الصلاة والسلام, has already fulfilled what is upon him. And he did, and he carried what was, what was given to him. Ayah 93 reads, لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا طَعِمُوا إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Here it reads, how did I get here? أيوه. There is not upon those who believe and do righteousness any blame concerning what they have eaten in the past if they now fear Allah and believe and do righteous deeds and then fear Allah and believe and then fear Allah and do good. Pay attention how many times it was repeated. And Allah loves the doers of good. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala says, لما نزل تحريم الخمر والنهي الأكيد والتشديد فيه تمنى أناس من المؤمنين أن يعلموا حال إخوانهم الذين ماتوا قبل تحريم الخمر وهم يشربونها. سبحان الله. After the prohibition of consuming intoxicants and the strict command of leaving it and avoiding it was revealed, huh? People among the believers wished to know about the condition of their brothers who had already passed away. However, they used to drink wine, they used to drink intoxicants before the ayah was revealed. Intoxicants were allowed in the beginning of Islam, صح? It was only made prohibited towards the end of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So before that ayah was revealed where it became haram, Sahaba who had lived and died but drank alcohol, because back then it was still halal, some of the Sahaba, the ones who were alive, were concerned about Fulan. That Fulan was drinking and it's haram. So what is his condition? Huh? Of course, you already have an answer. This is from their carefulness, really, about their brethren. Otherwise, you know that during his time, if it wasn't haram, then he is not really, he's not liable. Because it was still halal. So he wasn't doing anything wrong. But they were very cautious, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum jami'an. So Allah said to comfort them and console them, He said, لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ الْجُنَاحِ. There's no harm or blame upon those who have believed in and done righteous deeds. أي حَرَجٌ وَأَثِمٌ, meaning any sin or any issues. فِيمَا طَعِمُوا مِنَ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قَبْلَ تَحْرِيمِهِمَا. In whatever they had consumed of alcohol or even gambling prior to their prohibition. وَلَمَّا كَانَ النَّفِي الْجُنَاحِ يَشْمَلِ الْمَذْكُرَاتُ وَغَيْرِهَا. And when Allah Azza wa Jal said there's no harm upon them, that included those two and other things, Allah Azza wa Jal qualified that statement by saying, إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتٍ. Only if they had taqwa and they believed and done righteous deeds. أي بشرط أنهم تاركون للمعاصي مؤمنون بالله إيمانا صحيحا موجبا لهم عمل الصالحات. Provided that they had abandoned sinfulness and they were believers in Allah properly. The aqidah was sound. Which necessitates the doing of good deeds. ثُمَّ اسْتَمَرُّوا عَلَى ذَلِكَ And then they remain persistent and consistent upon that. وَإِلَّا فَقَدْ يَتَّصِفُ الْعَبْدَ بِذَلِكَ فِي وَقْتٍ دُونَ آخَرٍ Otherwise, a slave can be described as that in times without others. At times he is a taqi and at times he is not. فَلَا يَكْفِي حَتَّى يَكُونَ كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَتِيهِ أَجَلُهُ It is insufficient unless he is like that until his time ends. You have to be in the state of taqwa when you die. وَيَدُومُ عَلَى إِحْسَانِهِ And he is persistent in his excellence. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ فِي عِبَادَةِ الْخَالِقِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ فِي نَفْعِ الْعَبِيدِ Allah loves the good doers in the worship of their creator, and he loves those who benefit the people. He loves those who excel in benefiting his slaves. We ask Allah to make us among them. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ مَنْ طَعِمَ الْمُحَرَّمِ أَوْ فَعَلَ غَيْرِهِ بَعْدَ التَّحْرِيمِ Included in this ayah is anyone who has consumed any prohibited item or done something after it became prohibited. ثُمَّ اعْتَرَفَ بِذَنْبِهِ وَتَابَ إِلَى اللَّهِ Then he admitted his sin and he repented to Allah. وَاتَّقَى وَآمَنْ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا Then he became pious and he believed and he did righteous deeds فَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ Allah will forgive him. يعني included is anyone who may have led a life of deviance and then he changed his ways, then he is included in this ayah that Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive this person as well. وَيَرْتَفِعُ عَنْهُ الْإِثْمُ فِي ذَلِكَ And all sinfulness will be removed off of his shoulders. He will no longer be held accountable for these sins in the past. Bismillah. Ayah 94 Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu layabluwannakumu allahu bishay'in minas saydi tanaluhu aydikum warimahukum liya'lama allahu man yakhafuhu bilghayb faman i'tada ba'da thalika falahu azaabun aleem The English translation could mean Oh you who have believed Nope, sorry. Yes. Allah will surely test you through something of the game that your hands and spears can reach. And game is not game. Especially for the teenagers. They're like, what? Game? What game? FIFA? Huh? Don't go far. Okay, game has to do with hunting. That game and not the video games. That Allah may make evident those who fear Him unseen. And whoever transgresses after that, for him is a painful punishment. The ayah, when the Shaykh rahimahullah commented on it, said, هذا من منن الله على عباده أن أخبرهم بما سيفعل قضاء وقدرا This is one of the bounties of Allah, that He already informed us what He will be doing in His decree. Who can give us another reference where Allah told us about things which will happen so we can be prepared for them psychologically? It was in yesterday's lecture, Sheikh Asim's lecture. He referenced it in the lecture. Of course, those who are sleeping don't know what I'm talking about. Who can think of a concept in Islam where Allah already told us, look, human beings, I'm going to do this to you. No doubt. So that when it happens, someone will say, but Allah told you already it's going to happen. Calm down. Aywa. You're going to read the whole book, page or what? Jazakallah khair. Shukran Shaykh Abdul Majid, huh? The ayah that Allah, we will surely test you, huh? With something of fear, right? And poverty, and lack of wealth, and health, and sustenance, and give glad tidings to the patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَبَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ Those who are afflicted with the calamity, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Until the end of the ayat. صح؟ So Allah already told us, look, you cannot lead your life except that you will go through times of difficulty. You will have to deal with some deficiency in fulus. or deficiency in health, huh? Or in vegetation and whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla makes you grow, no doubt. So when it happens to you, someone tells you, "Akhi, you're not, yani, there's nothing wrong with you necessarily. Allah promised this will happen to all people. It's, you just have to be patient. It was already decreed." Sah? So much for sah, huh? I'll just drink the coffee.
What surah is that,
Baqarah? I believe it's in Baqarah, no?
Yeah, Baqarah, 155.
Ayuh. Ayah number 155? MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Dr. Zakir. Mashi. So how did I get here? Now, so he said, rahimahullah, لِيُطِعُوهُ وَيُقْدِمُوا عَلَى بَصِيرًا. So they may obey Allah and move with knowledge, with insight. وَيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيْنَا. And those who are meant to be destroyed, they'll be destroyed after it was made evident for them. يعني, someone is walking, and it's there's water on the ground. Hello? So it's slippery. You can fall and break your neck. And you tell someone, "Look, I'm telling you ahead of time, you're going to go to this location and they would be, it's usually wet. Okay? So watch your step when you're walking, otherwise you may fall." طيب? After you've given them this warning, or to be cautious, first of all, when they go, right, now they have knowledge. So the way he walks will be different than had you not told him. Sahih? If you didn't tell him, he would just walk like nothing's going on. When you tell him now, he will watch his step, he will see where he's going. And for the one who just, you tell him, he says, "Yeah, get out of here. I don't care." Sah? And then you see him walking, and then he falls and he breaks his toe, for example, so he can be nice. You can easily say, "I told you. You have hurt yourself after it was made clear to you. Okay, I didn't, you know, deprive you of an advice. I gave you an advice." It doesn't mean that you're going to rub it in his face and say, "Yeah, yeah, that's right, you deserve it. I hope you break the other one. Let me help you break it." No. But you can easily say with a peace of mind, "Tough one, buddy. Told ya. You don't like to listen to advice? Fine. You destroy yourself upon clarity." So this is exactly the same concept. يَهْلَكُ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيْنَا. It's also in the Quran. لِيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيْنَا وَيَهْلَكَ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيْنَا وَيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيْنَا. نعم. فقال تعالى: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَخْتَبِرَ اللَّهُ إِيمَانَكُمْ. All you have believed, have no doubt that Allah will test your iman. Number one thing. You're a believer, you will be tested in regards to this very belief of yours. لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ. Allah will test you with some gain. أي بِشَيْءٍ غَيْرِ كَثِيرٍ. Not a lot. فَتَكُونُ مِحْنَةً يَسِيرًا. So it's a light test. It's a light test. Because I will tell you how difficult that is. You know, for those who dive, anyone who dives here, scuba diving, spear fishing, sometimes you go to locations, okay, where there's scarcely any fish, barely any fish. You have to wait around for some time before a decent fish comes around. And one time we went to this one location, okay, where it was a dream, it wasn't real. That coral reef, wallahi, يعني, you know the harid? The harid is one of the most expensive fish in the market, maybe 50, 60 riyals a kilo, that paired fish. The colorful one with green and blue and all these funky colors. Okay, and usually you'll be, يعني, it'll be a good day if you catch one this size. These things were in this size in the 20s and 30s swimming together. Okay, for a spear fisher, this is unreal. This doesn't happen in real life. So you can imagine, you know, you're sitting there underwater and you're seeing all these fish go all over the place. And instead of you waiting for 10 minutes to shoot one fish, now you have to choose which one should I shoot. Or can I possibly get two in one, huh? With one spear. Imagine now, if it were only one fish, let's say someone was told spear fishing is not allowed, okay? You're a diver, you spearfish, and you were just enjoying the beauty of nature underwater, and one fish went by, which you know you cannot shoot. Will you feel bad? No? Yes, you will feel bad. One fish. But if they were 20, 30, you would die. يعني if it's one fish you say الحمد لله one fish yes. But if your dream which you always dreamt about was suddenly in your face and now you can't do anything about it, huh? Because with that one fish you may shoot and miss, but with 20 fish next to each other, unless you, even if you're blind, if you close your eyes and shot, you're gonna end up with a fish. And if you're told you cannot shoot, that amount of availability versus the restriction becomes much more heavy for you to shoulder, because it's like, no way. So Allah is making it easy. It's not like you're going to go and see a bunch of them where you're like, oh no, this is no way, I'm in ihram, I can't do this. It's one something little which will tease you. It will tease you and it will test your iman, but nothing to traumatize you. Because you could be traumatized. If you're a hunter, and all of a sudden, everything you've dreamt about in hunting is available to you, but you said, no, not today. You cannot do it. Anyways, if you've never been hunting, you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll just be quiet.
So is it haram?
What is haram?
Yeah, sure.
No, why is it haram? Why is it haram? It's the same thing. Allah made all these things lawful for us. Huh? Whether you catch the fish with your hand, or with a hook, or with a net, or with a shaft, which is the spear, كله يجي. كله كويس. طيب. المهم the Sheikh said, وذلك الصيد الذي يبتليكم الله نعم. فتكون محنة يسيرة تخفيفة منه تعالى وطفا. So it's mercy from Allah. Mercy from Allah that is not a lot. And it will be وَذَلِكَ الصَّيْدِ الَّذِي يَبْتَلِيكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. It will be something that Allah will test you with. تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. You can acquire it with your hands and with your spears. أي تَتَمَكَّنُونَ مِنْ صَيْدِهِ لِيَتِمَّ بِذَلِكَ ابْتِلَاءً. Meaning you will be able to hunt it if you wanted to. It's not like you see a deer like 20 kilometers away. You see something right there which you would have been able to catch. Had you been allowed to catch it, you would have been able to catch. لا غير مقدور عليه بيد ولا رمح. Nothing that would have been unattainable through your hand or through your spear. فلا يبقى للابتلاء فائدة. There's no harm in testing. There's no benefit in the test anymore. If the thing was so far away that even if you could, you can't catch it, then you're not really being tested because you don't have the skills to get it. But it's something that you would be able to catch had you been allowed to do so. فثم ذكر الحكمة من في ذلك الابتلاء. Then Allah mentioned the wisdom behind this test. فقال ليعلم الله. So Allah may know, and Allah knows beforehand, so it can become evident. علما ظاهرا للخلق. The kind of knowledge which is apparent to the creation. يترتب عليه ثواب العقاب. Due to which one can be rewarded or held accountable or punished. That's what is intended for Allah to know. Allah knows already. But now when it materializes, then Allah on the Yawm al-Qiyamah can say, you have done this, so you'll be rewarded, you have done that. Allah could tell you, I didn't let you go through the test, because I know that had I let you go through the test, you were going to hunt anyways, so I'm going to punish you for it. Even though Allah has this right to do it. But wouldn't a human being say, what? But no. صح? The human will say, no, had you let me go through this, I wouldn't have done it. And Allah knows that he would have done it. So Allah allows these events to take place so that the human being cannot come and say, oh, yeah. So this is the knowledge. Not that Allah, as some of the juhal, say that Allah doesn't know. And now Allah learns through these experiments. Very important for you to understand the meaning, لِيَعْلَمَ Allah, so that Allah may know. Not lack of knowledge, after which knowledge is acquired when you do the choice. No, Allah knows beforehand what you would choose. But that knowledge now is manifesting so that you will know. And Allah will let you know that now He knows, because before you could say that, how did you know? And on Yawm al-Qiyamah you will have no exit. Clear? We hope so, sir. نعم فمن يخافه بالغيب. So Allah is trying to become evident to us, who is it that fears him in the unseen or unseen. فيكف عما نهى الله عنه مع قدرته عليه وتمكنه. So he abandons what Allah prohibited even though he has the ability to do it. فيثيبه الثواب الجزيل. So Allah will give him the abundant reward. ممن لا يخاف بالغيب. And Allah will distinguish between that person and the one who does not fear Allah in the unseen. فَلَا يَرْتَدِعْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَةٍ تُعْرَضُ لَهُ. So he will not avoid any sin which is presented to him. فيصطاد ما تمكن من. He will hunt whatever he is able to catch. فمن اعتدى منكم, whoever then transgresses amongst you, بعد ذلك, أي بعد البيان, after this clarification, الذي قطع الحجج وأوضح السبيل, that closed the door for all kind of justifications or excuses, and it clarified the path, فله عذاب أليم, to him is a painful punishment, أي مؤلم موجع. Both of them are synonymous terms, painful and painful. لا يقدر على وصفه إلا الله. None can describe it except Allah. لأنه لا عذر لذلك المعتدي. Because that transgressor has no excuse. He was already told and he still did it. والاعتبار بمن يخاف بالغيب وعدم حضور الناس عنده. And the whole thing revolves around the one who fears Allah in the unseen, even if people are not present there. وأما إظهار مخافة الله عند الناس, as for displaying the fear of Allah before mankind, فقد يكون ذلك لأجل مخافة الناس. This may be out of fear of people, not the fear of Allah. فلا يثاب على ذلك. He will not be rewarded accordingly for that. Do you want to take a break before Dr. Yahya's class, or should we continue? طيب. آية 95. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقتلوا الصيد وأنتم حرم ومن قتله منكم متعمدا فجزاء مثل ما قتل من النعم يحكم به ذوى عدل منكم هديا بالغ الكعبة أو كفارة. This text in the translation is almost unreadable. Let me just turn it off and go to the standard. Alhamdulillah. فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعْمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ هَدِيًا بَالِغِ الْكَعْبَةِ بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ أَوْ كَفَّارَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ أَوْ عَدْلُ ذَلِكَ صِيَامًا طَعَامُ مَسَاكِينَ. جزاك الله خير, احسنت يا عبد المجيد. أو كفارة طعام مساكين أو عدل ذلك صياما ليذوق وبال أمره عفى الله عما سلف ومن عاد فينتقم الله منه والله عزيز ذو انتقام. The last ayah in this page at least reads, O you have believed, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. And whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an equivalent from sacrificial animals to what he killed, as judged by two just men among you as an offering to Allah delivered to the Kaaba, or an expiation, the feeding of needy people, or the equivalent of that in fasting, that he may taste the consequence of his deed. Allah has pardoned what is past, but whoever returns to violation, then Allah will take retribution from him. And Allah is exalted in might and owner of retribution. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, ثم صرح بالنهي عن قتل الصيد في حال الإحرام. Then Allah clearly prohibited hunting game while in the state of ihram. What is ihram? What is ihram? For those of you especially who are about to go for hajj, you better know what's going on, chief. Many people say, I go and figure it out. And they go and they don't figure anything out. And then they come back with a bazillion questions. Huh? Wallah, brother, I didn't do this, and I didn't do this one, and didn't do this one. And what, you find they turn out with an expiation of like 15 animals. And he still has to go back and finish half of his hajj. So learn before you go. What is ihram?
The clothes that we wear.
No, yes and no. Yes and no, we call it ihram, but that's not ihram.
It's an ijab that we are willing to call umrah or hajj.
No. Yes. Yes, it's the state during which you are not allowed to A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You cannot cut your hair, and you cannot remove your nails, and you cannot do this, and you cannot wear perfume, and you have to wear the ihram, the towels, and that is actual ihram. Now, of course, the towels we call ihram, and maybe now, according to Abdul Majid, even the very niyyah of doing it, we call ihram, or whatever the people may call it, but at the end of the day, and I'm trying to remember this English word, I love this English word, but I can never remember it when I need it. I mean, I know it, but I know it's wrong. It, you know, whoever is a native speaker should be able to help us. When someone is imprisoned, there's a term that they use, especially in the hip hop world. Malish, they would say, la.
Concentration.
It was something along these lines, but I don't think that's the word. And I read it once in the book of description of Hajj and Umrah in English, and I fell in love with this word because it was perfect. It was a perfect depiction of the word ihram. Perfect depiction. But and I said to myself, remember this word, and it's one of these words that is very difficult to remember. Consecration, something like that.
Consecration.
Is it consecration? Yes, I believe so. Akid? If my memory serves me well, consecration, which is the state of where you're being handcuffed and you're being withheld from certain things which are otherwise allowed for you. It's like a state of restriction, more or less. Khalas? So that's ihram. Huh? Because why am I saying this? Because Allah prohibited that you hunt while in ihram. Does that mean that if I ran out of clothes and the only thing I had left was these two towels, I put them on and went hunting, but I'm neither in Hajj nor Umrah, according to you I cannot hunt? Sahih brother, I'm wearing the ihram. But that's not what Allah is referring to. Huh? It's not. By the way, that could have been the style back then, that people wear towels. No? So we're not really looking at the clothing here. It's the state of being in Umrah or Hajj, which is from the time you say Labbaik Allahumma Umrah or Hajj or Umratan Mutamatti'an biha ila al-Hajj or whatever. From that moment until you have completed the last act of the rites of Hajj or Umrah. So so the Muqaddimat al-Qatl, we said the steps which may lead to that killing. وعن المشاركة في القتل. And what is also prohibited is association in this very act. Huh? You say, okay, I'll put this, and you put the shotgun on my hand. To use it to focus, for example, or whatever kind of assistance you provide to the hunter, you become involved in the hunting. Mind you, yani two guys going for Hajj or Umrah. One of them is the hunter, and the other one is his assistant. They're doing this together. والدلالة عليه, or even pointing to it. If you say, look right there, you're done. You have just hunted yourself. والإعانة على قتله, or even aiding in killing that animal. حتى إن من تمام ذلك أنه ينهى المحرم عن أكل ما قتل أو صيد لأجله. So much so that it is prohibited for the one in the state of ihram to eat what has been hunted for his sake. If someone killed an animal or hunted it just for you, it's not allowed for you to eat it. ماشي؟ وهذا كله تعظيم لهذا النسك العظيم. All this is means of magnifying this great rite of Allah. Not right here as in R-I-T-E. Not the right as in the حق, يعني R-I-G-H-T. وإنه يحرم على المحرم قتل وصيد ما كان حلالا له قبل الإحرام. So it is prohibited upon the muhrim, the one in the state of ihram, to kill and hunt what was previously allowed for him before ihram. وقوله ومن قتله منكم متعمدا, أي قتل صيدا عمدا, whoever then deliberately, intentionally kills a game, فعليه جزاء مثل ما قتل من النعم, أي الإبل أو البقر أو الغنم. He has to then give the equivalent of that. Of what? Of a camel, or cow, or a goat. فينظر ما يشبه ذلك, يشبه شيئا من ذلك. So they look into whatever is resembles or similar to that. فيجب عليه مثله. So then he has to offer something equivalent to that. يذبحه ويتصدق به. He slaughters it and he gives it as a sadaqah. والاعتبار بالمماثلة أن يحكم به ذو عدل منكم. Who can judge what is equivalent to what? This will be equal to that. You should use a goat or a cow or a camel. أي عدلان يعرفان الحكم. So two people of just people who know the ruling are the ones who may pass this judgment. وجه الشبه كما فعل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم حيث قضوا بالحمامة شات. And so the Sahaba, the way they did it is whoever killed a pigeon had to offer a sheep. وفي النعامة بدنا. And whoever killed a na'ama, na'ama is that ostrich, he had to offer a camel. وفي البقري وفي بقر الوحش على اختلاف أنواع البقرة. And in a particular type of cow, they had to offer a cow in equivalence. وهكذا كل ما يجب شيء من النعم. Similarly, anything that is like from the livestock, ففيه مثله, is to offer something equivalent. فإن لم يشبه شيئا ففيه قيمته. If they cannot find any animal which is equivalent to the one he killed, then he has to pay its value. Its value. كما هو القاعدة في المتلفات. As in the principle of anything which you destroy. If you destroy someone's property, you give him the value of that. وذلك الهدي لابد أن يكون هديا بالغ الكعبة. That offering expiation has to make it to the كعبة. يذبح في الحرم. It has to be slaughtered in the حرم. أو كفارة طعام مساكين. Or the expiation of which of feeding poor people. أي كفارة ذلك جزاء طعام مساكين. So the expiation will be in feeding poor people. أي يجعل مقابلة المثل من النعم طعام بيطعم المساكين. So the equivalent of that, of this livestock, he makes it to feed the people. فإن كثيرا قال كثير من العلماء يقوم الجزاء فيشتري يقيم الجزاء أو يقوم الجزاء فيشتري بقيمته طعام. He will look at the value of what he killed and then he will buy food with the equivalent of that. فيطعم كل مسكين مدة بر أو بر أو عفوا مدة بر بر أيوة أو نصف صاع من غيره. So he feeds every poor person المد. We already mentioned what is the mud, right? This is a mud, which is around 0.75 liters from bur. Bur is grain, right? أو نصف صاع, or the half a صاع, which is 2 mud of something else. أو عدل ذلك الطعام صياما, or the equivalent of that, meaning food in fasting. أي يصوم عن إطعام كل مسكين يوما. For each day, for each مسكين he's supposed to feed, he will fast one day. ليذوق بإيجاب الجزاء المذكور عليه وبال أمره. So he may taste the consequence of his deed. ومن عاد بعد ذلك, whoever returns afterwards, فينتقم الله منه والله عزيز ذو انتقام. Allah will take revenge from him and Allah is full of might, revengeful. وإنما نص الله على المتعمد لقتل الصيد مع أن الجزاء يلزم المتعمد والمخطئ. Allah عز وجل only mention the one who does it deliberately. Even though this expiation involves one who does it deliberately or mistakenly, both of them have to offer the expiation. كما هو القاعدة الشرعية أن المتلف للنفوس المتلف للنفوس والأموال محترمة فإنه يضمنه على أي حال كان. If you destroy someone's property, whether intentionally or unintentionally, you have to make it up for them. ماشي؟ You're driving your car and you someone bothered you, so you went into him, and as many mashallah drivers do, and you crushed into him or crashed into him and made him get off the side curb and whatever happens. You have to fix his car. And if you did it by mistake, he fixes his car, you still have to fix his car. Except that in the first one, you are sinful, and in the second one, you are not sinful. Because you did it by mistake, it was an accident. Whereas in the first time, you were sinful because you deliberately harmed a Muslim. Now, إن كان إتلافه بغير حق, فإن الله, لأن الله رتب عليه الجزاء والعقوبة والانتقام. So if you, however, do it deliberately, with evilness, with evil, then Allah has prepared the revengefulness and the punishment. وهذا للمتعمد, for the one who does it deliberately. وأما المخطئ فليس عليه عقوبة. The one who does it by mistake, no punishment. إنما عليه الجزاء, but he has to do the expiation. هذا جواب الجمهور من هذا القيد الذي ذكره الله. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. وطائفة من أهل العلم يرون تخصيص الجزاء بالمتعمد هو ظاهر الآية. Some of the ulama say no, the expiation is only for the one who does it deliberately. The one who does it by mistake, he doesn't have to offer anything. والفرق بين هذا وبين التضمين في الخطأ في النفوس والأموال في هذا الموضع الحق فيه لله. Anyways, the point of relation between the previous principle and this one is that both of them, the right belongs to Allah. فكما لا إثم لا جزاء. The same way there is no sin, then there should be no expiation. لإتلافه نفوس الأدميين وأمواله. Because he has destroyed the property of the human beings and their wealth. على كل حال, the point which I wanted to highlight before we conclude, and we will conclude right now, is that this ayah is used as an evidence to refute those who say, don't judge me, only Allah can judge me. Only Allah judges. And you have no right to judge. And blah, blah, blah. Which is something the Khawarij, were trying to propagate at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. And Ibn Abbas, when he came to give him nasiha and to lecture them, he quoted and he taught them from the Quran. Because they said that إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. They were trying to use the Quran to mislead. They said, the ruling and the hukum, the judgment belongs to Allah alone. He said, from what I remember, he quoted this ayah. That when you kill an animal, who makes the judgment? ذَوَا عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. Two people will make a judgment in regards to the right of Allah about what animal should be offered as an expiation. So who did Allah, the one who al-hukum belongs to him, who did he assign? Did he assign others to do hukum in this dunya? Yes. So this is تفضل, either in or out. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. حياك الله.
No, peace TV.
No, peace TV here. JDC. Close. تفضل يا شيخ. No problem, شيخ. بارك الله فيك. ماشي. For this ayah is used as an evidence. It's used as an evidence about those who say that no human beings can judge, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has assigned judges from among His creation. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And with this we conclude the درس. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
كمل يا شيخ.
خلصنا يا شيخ. والله غلقنا آخر آية ما بقي.